Wow, we're getting closer and closer to Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Well, what I wanted to talk about today was the Anointed One. We hear about that in prophecy and all kinds of things. The Anointed One. Who is the Anointed One? Well, think about it. We are in a time in our culture and time where extravagance and wasteful things and all of that kind of stuff. And you can almost hear, as we read the scriptures, Judas' voice shouting out these words in Lazarus' home that day, 6 days before Jesus would walk to his death. He being Judas was angry. In fact, he was so angry he was livid. He verbally plummeted Mary with vitriol, claiming that the alabaster jar of nard that she had bought could have been sold for somewhere around 300 denarii. Instead, she broke and dumped the entire jar on Jesus' feet, so much so that the entire house was filled with heavy perfume, and it would be weeks or months to come. Wow, I was anointing things, people, and one time in the sanctuary, and I got to the back of the sanctuary, and I dropped the bottle of anointing oil, and the whole sanctuary was anointed, and the wonderful smell of frankincense and myrrh permeated for a long time. And I think that's what happened when Mary poured that perfume. The fragrance probably continued for weeks and months. Now, that was an extravagant cost, and now her extravagant impulse had robbed their ministry treasury, according to Judas, their ability to give to the poor. Now, you can also hear the sarcastic sneer from John as he asserts Judas's deceit. Yeah, Judas actually had no interest in the poor at all, but filling his own pockets, as he had a habit of, stealing from the common purse, the treasury that he was responsible for maintaining. Now, why is this argument so important? I think it would be a turning point for Judas, who was already feeling conflicted about Jesus' identity and ministry, and would now be the one to turn him in to the hungry religious authorities who sought to put him on trial in exchange for money, of course. You know, Judas did betray him for 30 pieces of silver later on. But I digress. If Mary is extravagant, and her pointing out Judas is definitely extravagant in his shoveling in, and while Judas's fate will not go well from here, Mary will always be remembered as the most extravagant gift of comfort and loyalty that Jesus would receive before his final ordeal. An act so extravagant that, in its own right, that it would change the world for centuries upon centuries to come. And as we look at it now, some 2,000 years later, for Jesus, the entire mission has always been about extravagant grace, extravagant faith, extravagant hope from an extravagantly loving God, whose faith in us by far exceeds humanity's faith in him. Mary, more than any other disciples, present that day and understood this to the max. We don't think of Mary as being a disciple, but she was. And she understood who he was, he being Jesus, and what he was about to do and why he was determined to do it. Now, her extravagant sense of holiness, worship, empathy, loyalty, honor, integrity would also reassure her beloved rabbi in the face of his most terrifying last days. For she knew more than anyone else that Jesus' mission was never about money. He said, "You always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." So Judas's outburst, calmly, he would let Judas do what he had to do. Go and do what you got to do, Judas. Jesus had other things on his mind and helping them to understand that he would have to die in order that he can live. As much as the disciples did not want to believe that, Jesus would have to be killed. Jesus already knew and had prepared for this day. And so did Mary, clearly the one at the time who did not deny Jesus' words, but instead had the courage to celebrate him. Now Mary, we learn, had bought the expensive perfumed oil for the purpose of Jesus' burial. Think about that. Yes, she was inspired to anoint Jesus that day to literally pour the heavy, sweet oil over his feet and massage it into his skin with her hair. She knew what Jesus would endure, and she understood and discerned from Jesus what the other disciples did not want to accept or believe. I guess they knew, but they were in denial, that he would need to die so that he could rise again. And as a woman close to him, she, her sister, and Lazarus were practically family, as Scripture says. They planned to be a part of his ritual burial rites. You see, in ancient Jewish burial practices, washing the body, known as tahah, and with anointing oils and spices was a ritual of purification and allowed for a dignified departure on the part of the deceased. Almost a kind of second baptism with oil, if you would. The ancients believed that the ritual purified the body and the soul, soothed the spirit, and surrounded the body with God's protective presence. It was also a sign of devotion and love on the part of the person who washed the body for ritual burial. But why would Mary choose to do this 6 days before? Well, in her pouring out upon Jesus, I think Mary made a statement so pungent and pure that it cannot be mistaken. And like the female protagonist in the Song of Solomon, spikenard oil or nard is the smell of love that the bride holds for the bridegroom, if you remember reading Song of Solomon. And likewise, the bridegroom delights in the fragrance of his beloved. For her, he, being Jesus, is her beloved Messiah, a word that simply means the anointed one. And as she marinates his feet in the manner of the fragrance of her devotion and love, it'll permeate Jesus' spirit and mind and soul and heart and prepare him for the week ahead. More difficultly, more than anything that we could ever imagine. Because the fragrance instills with us a memory of time and place. I think most of us have had experienced that, and we go someplace and the odor or the smell or the fragrance, it either has a good effect on us or a bad effect on us, depending on where you are and what kind of odor it is. Have you ever had that time when the smell of a certain food just wafts past your nose, reminding you of home or a dish that your mother used to make? I remember the smell of apple pie sitting on the windowsill after she made pies. Well, perhaps the scent of fresh grass or, you know, anything in the air can take you back sometimes to a significant memory in your life, a wedding, a funeral, relationship, trauma even, because our senses help us to remember. Now, Jesus was in his most difficult moments, and we'll remember this act of devotion and worship and comfort and love. And I have to imagine that her extravagant empathy will reassure him that the human spirit is capable of great loyalty and love. That day, Mary did not want to anoint him when dead, but consecrate him while he was alive, to declare her love and confirm his call and preparing for his mission that lied ahead, the most difficult that Jesus would ever undertake. But for Judas, I love the buts in the it, for Judas, money erased empathy. For Mary, spikenard would increase it. For all who witnessed her that day would not only remember the unusual service, but the scent and the reminder of the Messiah, the anointed one who would remain in Lazarus' home for a long time to come, reminding them who Jesus was and of the promise that Jesus made. A promise that his ooh, at one moment type of situation would not be the end of his or their story, but in the beginning is now coming to conclusion. This is what Mary understood, that though what he would endure, Jesus, at one moment, or atonement, whatever you want to call it, would become our moments. She would make sure that they would not forget. Just as perfume once released with infused everything and everyone in this vicinity with the pungent scent, so too would Jesus' promise of life, eternal, lasting presence, seep into the hearts and the bones of everyone present, that he may be missing for a while, but he'll never be gone. You see, the fragrance of his presence will always remind them of his lasting and important message of his eternal presence. And we have it yet still today. Jesus may die for a while as we read the stories, but we know he would rise again. Hallelujah to Resurrection Sunday. Well, they may not have understood it in their minds, but their senses would not be deceived. Just as the scent of roses never leaves a rosary, the fragrance of Christ's promise would never, never again leave his disciples. Not them, not us, not ever. Mary may have prepared for Jesus' death, but now instead she celebrates his messianic identity and the promise of life. And so do we still today. Each time we celebrate his Last Supper in our homes and our churches, we will also remember that promise and acknowledge the Holy Spirit of Christ that continues to dwell among us to this day. Now, our celebration today, as we do communion, as we usually do on the first of the month, today we're going to celebrate both communion and anointing. Now, I can't do it here, but in the church service, we're going to take Holy Communion, and I'm going to anoint each and every one of the ones that are willing or want to take the anointing with oil, scented with frankincense and myrrh. You see, it's Christ's invocation as a commemoration of his inspired and enduring love for all generations, including us today. And as we do that, we pray that the fragrance of your faith wafts through the sanctuary where you are. And if you're in church on Sunday, I pray that as you partake of his body and blood, remember Christ as he remembers you, and as he promises you today. At that moment, he reminds us that he must die. But also at that moment, we need to remember that he must live. Yes, extravagant, you bet. Extravagant indeed, for Christ has risen. And just a reminder, when Jesus made some statements while he was on the cross. In Luke 23:34, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In Luke 23:43, he said, I assure you today you will be with me in paradise. John 19:26-27, he said, Woman, here is your son. And he said this to the disciple, Here is your mother. And then in Matthew 27:46, and also in Mark 15:34, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? John 19:28, he said, I am thirsty. And more importantly, in John 19:30, he says, It is finished. And in Luke 23:46, he said, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. Wow. And then he gave up the ghost. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Thank you for sharing with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.